Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Section 208. Vaishampayana said, hearing these various speeches, Dhritarashtra said, the learned Bhishma, the son of Shantanu, the illustrious Rishi Drona, and thyself also, O Vidura, have said the truth and what is also most beneficial to me. Indeed, as those mighty Kaur warriors, the heroic sons of Kunti, are the children of Pandu, so are they, without doubt, my children according to the ordinance. And as my sons are entitled to this kingdom, so are the sons of Pandu certainly entitled to it. And this he means before is he was just being very diplomatic, right? That he would, or let's say, he was putting more feeling into it, because he would say that the sons of Pandu are dear to me as my own sons. No, they're more dear to me, right? But this time he's always mentioning his sons first. Just as my sons are entitled to the kingdom, which they're not, the Pandavas are also, right? But no, but it's actually the Pandavas are entitled, his sons aren't at all. Like that. You know, so it's, you can see, so he's seen that it's not really going to go that way. That seniors are not supportive of it and all that. They're not going to get away with it. And so then, you know, we'll see whether it's actually sincerely meant or it's simply political. Like that. But in any case, still, you know, he's pointing out that here. And also he says that the Pandavas are also my sons according to the ordinance. That means according to the law. Well, before he said they're dear to me by affection. Right? You know, and this is only like, you know, 15 minutes before. But so this is, you can see more the real mood that he has. Therefore, hasten to bring hither the Pandavas along with their mother, treating them with affectionate consideration. O thou of Bharata's race, bring also Krishna of celestial beauty along with them. From sheer good fortune, the sons of Prita are alive, and from good fortune alone, those mighty Kaur warriors have attained the daughter of Drupad, right? By sheer good fortune. So you could look at it, yes, we're so fortunate that they do. No, it's by sheer good fortune, even despite all our plans that we were trying to kill them, that they stayed alive. You could also interpret it that way, right? But it sounds good in the assembly when you say it in this context. You know, and it's just good fortune because Duryodhana could have struck, he actually shot through the thing, but he missed the mark. He strung the bow, he shot, he got it through the moving machine, through that hole, but he missed the fish. Like that. So it was, you know, very close. And Karna, of course, didn't win because he wasn't allowed to. Otherwise, he could have also shot the mark. So it's the Pandava's good fortune. It is from good fortune alone that our strength hath increased. And it is from good fortune alone that Purochana hath perished. O thou of great splendor, it is from good fortune that my great grief hath been killed. Right? And Purochana, our good fortune, Purochana was killed, because if Purochana was alive, he might tell someone that it was our plan. Right? So, like that. So like this. Also, they from the, you know, the upside is they are more powerful now, though they didn't want to do it with the Pandavas, but they are more powerful, so it's working. Vaishampayana continued, then Vidura at the command of Dhritarashtra repaired, O Bharata, unto Yajnasena and the Pandavas. He repaired there thither, carrying with him numerous jewels and various kinds of wealth, for Draupadi, the Pandavas, and Yajnasena also. He repaired means what was he fixing?
Went to.
Yeah, well, you could say, yeah, fixing the relationship. But yeah, here's, he went to them. All right, so he had wealth for it. Why Draupadi, the Pandavas, and Yajnasena also? Why that order? Why not Yajnasena as the senior, then the Pandavas as the husband, and Draupadi? Why in this instance would it be said like this? Right? Because it was a marriage. And what's the marriage about?
The girl.
The girl, right? It's her purification. It's her scene. Right? The marriage is the bride's, you know, her, well, it's more than 15 minutes, her 2.5 hours, right? Like that. Wow, in the Vedic, everyone gets more than 15 minutes, right? Modern, you only get 15, right? Okay, so, does that make sense? So, because it's her thing, it was her wedding, it's because of the wedding everyone came together, it's because of the wedding the bond has happened, all these things are there. So therefore, in this instance, it'll be her first, right? Because he mentioned, go there and bring them out of affection. So if it's formal, you just go there and say you're being called to Hastinapur. Out of affection, then you would deal like you would with family and friends, right? Does that make sense? Also, arriving at Drupad's abode, Vidura, conversant with every rule of morality and deep in every science, properly accosted the monarch and waited upon him. Right? Now, how do you accost somebody and wait at the same time? You get the words? Right?
It's accost.
Accost. A cost means this, what you'd say is the, like the price or something, a specific price. Or means a cost means you approach them, you go after them with a determination that you are going to interact with them, right? But at the same time, he said he waited means he served, right? So in his accostation, he was doing it in a serving mood. Does that make sense? So he was going after him to interact, but he was going to interact so he could serve and say nice things and everything. Yeah? Okay. And it says, deep in every rule of morality, he's conversant with every rule of morality. It means he can discuss it, he knows it, it's there. It's not like he has to sit and remember, what should I do? And then deep in every science. So if you're deep in a science, what does that mean?
Accomplished,
yeah. Accomplished, and also one other thing. Right? You have realization in it. That means you know how to apply it. Right? Because if it's only accomplished, you'll say skilled in every science. Right? But he says deep in every science. Deep, you can only get deep if you're skilled. And if you apply skill with knowledge, then it'll become deep. Right? If you only apply yourself to the skill, you'll become skilled. Or you only apply yourself to the knowledge, you'll become knowledgeable. But if you combine the two, then you'll be deep. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay, and he properly accosted, not just any way, right? Drupad received Vidura in proper form, and they both inquired after each other's welfare. Vidura then saw there the Pandavas and Vasudev. As soon as he saw them, he embraced them from affection and inquired after their well-being. The Pandavas also, along with Vasudev, in due order, worshipped Vidura of immeasurable intelligence. But Vidura, O king, in the name of Dhritarashtra, repeatedly inquired with great affection after their welfare. He then gave, O monarch, unto the Pandavas, Kunti and Draupadi, unto Drupad and Drupad's sons, the gems and various kinds of wealth that the Kauravas had sent through him. Right, so why would he always repeatedly say that he's been sent by Dhritarashtra and Dhritarashtra has all this to say?
So that he's not affected by the negative things that might come in the future.
Okay, yeah. Politically, you could say that, as he's put it, that it's Dhritarashtra, so if there's any problems, it's Dhritarashtra's, yes?
He's trying to make Dhritarashtra look a little good.
Yeah, he's also trying to make him look good, so that's there as a well-wisher. And
he's
a messenger. Okay, yeah, so it's his duty.
Feel reassured and welcome.
They'll feel reassured and welcome, yes, because he's trying to retake the connection with the kingdom.
And also, he's nothing to do with him.
It's nothing to do with him, that's one thing, but there's also a final thing that may be missed. We see this in the Bhagavatam. like that when Vidura comes and takes him to the forest is because he's actually his well-wisher, right? Just like Balaram would see that when any guests like sadhus and big Brahmins and anybody respectable would come to the house, he would arrange that Subhadra would do the serving. Why? So that she would get the pious credits. So in here, by saying all this, then the piety goes to Dhritarashtra. So that way it's for his benefit. And the more pious he is, better chance he'll make a proper decision. Right? And besides that, just as his brother, he has, you know, affection for him. Like that. Because he's the younger brother, Vidura. Right? Though actually in knowledge, he's the senior. Possessed of immeasurable intelligence, the modest Vidura then, in the presence of the Pandavas and Keshava, addressed the well-behaved Drupad thus, like this. What does immeasurable intelligence and modesty have to do with each other?
Without humbleness, it's not like deep intelligence.
Yeah, right? You can only get immeasurable intelligence through modesty and humility. If you're proud, your intelligence can't be that much. That's why, you know, if you see someone who's proud and very skilled and intelligent, you know they will make mistakes because their pride at some point will get them. Right? It won't be a small mistake, it'll be a big mistake. Right? Because small mistakes, you know, they're too intelligent to miss. But the big one is what will get them. Does that make sense? But someone who's modest, then they can always adjust their plan, change, move with whatever's there, and so there's a better chance they'll make a consistent, better decision. Right? Does that make sense? That's why humility is so important. That's why in the Gurukul, humility is being trained. Because that one thing, then you can become very knowledgeable. If you're very knowledgeable, that means your skills can be very great. And if your knowledge and skills are great, means your realization can be great. But it all starts with humility. Right? That's why the 20 qualities of knowledge that Krishna describes, the first one's humility. Right? You have humility, everything else can be gained. Right? Humility doesn't mean insecurity. Humility means intelligently understanding who you are, your position. Right? That I am small. Right? So therefore, like that, everybody else is also the same as me, so therefore they're to be respected, right? Isn't it? Mm-hmm. You would respect something that's equal strength with you, right? If you weren't, you'd be foolish. Right? So therefore, every soul is the same. There's no differences in the soul. The difference is in the particular conditioned nature, but it's not the soul. Right? So the soul is always to be respected. So seeing in that light, then one is always humble. Right? Though, according to the rule, one acts. Right? One acts according to whatever's the etiquette. You notice here, because we're dealing with Kshatriyas, then it always mentions their proper behavior, well-behaved Drupad, in proper form, according to the rule, according to... It always mentions that. Because this is very important to Kshatriyas. Right? The rule has to be followed. Right? But that's for them. That is the active state, right? For a smarta, it's the rule is what must be done. But that's their position, right? The kshatriya is what. That's how they must act. Does that make sense? Because they're only interested. What they're interested of the rules they're interested in are the rules that they follow, right? While a Brahmin may know all the rules that are for everybody. But he only follows the rules applicable to him. That makes sense? So it's slightly different. Even though the Brahmin may be more established in the rule, it's just part of his occupation. It's the way he sees things. Well, for the Kshatriya, it's his lifestyle. You understand? It means, you catch the difference in the flavor? Right. This is the difference between the varnas. Not this. If he has a crown and a sword, right? Yes, I guess you can throw in the crowd around him. Then, that's a kshatriya. Right? You have big fat Brahmin thread, and he's a Brahmin. right? If he's sitting on one huge mountain of grain with a big smile on his face, he's a Vaishya, you know, and if he's operating a jackhammer, then he must be a Shudra, right? No, that's it, right? So this is a little obvious, but a little gross, because then what do you do about a very refined, let's say, dancer, right? It's going to be really hard to say, well, there, what's the similarity between this dancer and the big fat guy with the beer belly on the jackhammer, right? So you're not going to be able to tell who's a Shudra, right? And if all they do is they're angry and they fight and they have a gun, they're a Kshatriya, then, you know, hey, you just have to go to Watts or Harlem and you got a lot of Kshatriyas out there. You like that. I think you could also go to Miami these days and you'd find a lot of Kshatriyas. Right? Does that make sense? So, this is how you tell the difference. Right? It's subtleties. They're dealing with the same field. They're dealing with Shastra and all that. But for the difference is that the Shastra itself and studying and teaching it is the Brahman's field. The application of it in the way of administration and protection, that's the Kshatriyas. Therefore, in the social thing, applying it, that is the Brahman. I mean, the Kshatriyas. It's the Brahmas to teach everyone how to do that. Right? It's not that they don't do it, but that's not what you Brahmins, you'll say the gentle, the wise, the, like this. But here in the Kshatriyas, it's always in proper form, the well-behaved. You know, does that make sense? Like that. So this is, yes.
Maharaj, is exactly what Lord Krishna was saying when he said, Vidya Vinaya Sampani Brahmana Gavidashini. The Brahmana see all equal because he's equipped with Vidya, knowledge, and Vinaya, this humbleness, this training that he has as a Brahmana.
Mm, yeah.
Without this humbleness, he cannot see all equal.
Yeah, it's true. With thy ministers and sons, O monarch, so this is what he said. Listen to what I say. King Dhritarashtra, with ministers, sons, and friends, hath, with a joyous heart, O king, repeatedly inquired after thy welfare. And, O monarch, he hath been highly pleased with this alliance with thee. So also, O king, Bhishma of great wisdom, the son of Shantanu, with all the Kurus, inquired after thy welfare in every respect. Drona also of great wisdom, the son of Bharadwaj, and thy dear friend, embraced thee mentally, inquired of thy happiness. O king of Panchalas, Dhritarashtra and all the Kurus, in consequence of this alliance with thee, regard themselves supremely blessed. O Yajnasena, the establishment of this alliance with thee hath made them happier than if they had acquired a new kingdom. Knowing all this, O monarch, permit the Pandavas to revisit their ancestral kingdom. The Kurus are exceedingly eager to behold the sons of Pandu. These bulls among men have been long absent from the kingdom, as they, as well as Prita, must be very eager to behold their city. All the Kuru ladies, the citizens and our subjects, are eagerly awaiting to behold Krishna, the Panchala princess. This, therefore, is my opinion, O monarch, that thou shouldest, without delay, permit the Pandavas to go thither with their wife. After the illustrious Pandavas, O king, will have received thy permission to go thither, I shall send information unto Dhritarashtra by quick messengers. Like that. So he's mentioning also is that in the assembly, so it's not just that, how do you say? Dhritarashtra is saying, but Dhritarashtra along with his ministers, his sons, his well-wishers, in other words, everybody was agreeing. And he mentions that repeatedly he was inquiring. He didn't just say he inquired after you. That's nice, but repeatedly means it was very important. Right? So repetition is always, you know, brings out the strength of it. Right? So that's why one has said something once, but if someone is in an emotional state that requires more support, it should be said many times. You don't just say, oh, I've already said it, what's the trick? No, it's just the way it works. Right? Does that make sense? Then, O king, with the Pandavas set out with... Then, O king, will the Pandavas set out with Kunti and Krishna? section 209. Vaishampayana said, hearing these words of Vidura, Drupad said, it is even so as thou, O Vidura of great wisdom, hath said. Venerable one, I too have been exceedingly happy in consequence of this alliance. It is highly proper that these illustrious princes should return to their ancestral kingdom. But it is not proper for me to say this myself. Right? Because he's not saying, because otherwise then it may be thought that they want to get rid of him, right? Because he's in the house of the father-in-law, and they may think, well, you know, they're a burden there. So therefore he's saying, yes, yes, you can go. Right? Because you have to understand diplomacy works both ways. Mm-hmm. Right? Just as you can say something and get something done. You want to get rid of the person, so therefore you can say, you know, yes, yes, that's a great idea. Oh, yes, why not? You know, you haven't visited for a long time. You could say all the same things, and it would work like that. So to avoid that aspect, he's saying, I'm not going to say. It is not proper for me to say this myself. If the brave son of Kunti, namely Yudhishthira, if Bhima and Arjuna, if these bull among men, namely the twins, themselves desire to go, and if Rama, Baladev, and Krishna, both acquainted with every rule of morality, be of the same mind, then let the Pandavas go thither. For these tigers among men, Rama and Krishna, are ever engaged in doing what is agreeable and beneficial to the sons of Pandu. Right? But he shows that he's supportive of. He says, I'm not going to say, but if they're agreeable to go like that, then let them go. He's not saying they should go, because then it's an order. Then let them go. He doesn't say they should, they can. You understand? Because these are verbs. Right? The moods of the verb. So you have to be very careful what mood is being used. Right? Because you're trying to say, I'm not making the decision, so you can't use the imperative where it's you're saying that it should be done. You have to use a form that's going to allow them. Right? Okay. Does that make sense? Right? These are very subtle points. Hearing this, Yudhishthira said, we are now, O monarch, with all our younger brothers, dependent on thee. We shall cheerfully do what thou art pleased to command. Right? So he says, no, but we're dependent on you, so whatever you tell us, we'll do. Right? So I'm not sure how they'll get out of this one. Vaishampayana continued, then Vasudev said, I am of opinion that the Pandavas should go, but we should all abide by the opinion of King Drupad. Right? Like that.
So fine.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's very, very fine here. Because he's saying, throwing out his opinion, so then it's like something's been said. Because Vidura has been, that's there. But Krishna is a well-wisher. The well-wishers don't want to say, right? Because they don't want them to go. But Krishna is saying, no, I think they should go, but it's up to the king to decide. Like that. So here you have a well-wisher saying that. So then it's being done. You see, it's very nice, this. One could say it's beating around the bush. The Dutch will hate all this. It's not direct to the point, in your face and insulting. So, but, how you say? But this is actually human life, right? This is the way it is, you know. Like that. Oh, you know the Dutch from down there, okay. I was thinking the ones up north, but yeah, they are down south also, aren't they? Drupad then spoke, I certainly agree with what this foremost of men thinketh, having regard to the circumstances. For the illustrious sons of Pandu are now to me as they are, without doubt, to Vasudev. Kunti's son Yudhishthira himself doth not seek the welfare of the Pandavas so earnestly as Keshava, that tiger among men. Right? It means even Krishna is more worried about their benefit than Yudhishthira himself. So that means if Krishna says it's good, then you have to see, because he's always mentioning about morality circumstances, because you have to see it in light of that. Emotionally, they say, yes, come this, that, so that's nice, but it may not be the right thing for the circumstance, right? Circumstance may not You may require more intelligence, because otherwise then there may be a problem, right? Because it may be a trap, it may be they might get insulted, so many different things may be there. But here then you have to look at it in the circumstances, so then Krishna is thinking, no, this will be good. Vaishampayana continued, commanded by the illustrious Drupad, the Pandavas then, O King, Krishna and Vidura, taking with them Krishna, the daughter of Drupad, and the renowned Kunti, journeyed towards the city, called after the elephant, stopping at various places along the way for purposes of pleasure and enjoyment. King Dhritarashtra, hearing that those heroes had neared the capital, sent out the Kauravas to receive them. Why would they go so slowly? They haven't been home for a while. Yes.
Preparations.
Preparation, yeah. Allows time for preparation.
The same reason they don't want to show haste.
Yeah, you don't want to show haste because then it's important to you. Then people will deal with you in that way. Right? Does that make sense? Just like if you're beginning of the relationship, the girl calls, the boy is not hasty in coming. Otherwise, then, you know, he's too controlled. Like that. So it's a matter. But in proper time, right? So there has to be a balance.
Not to show greed?
Yeah, you don't show greed like this. So it's one of the elements. So then they're, how you say, they're near, yeah, I said, so they're going, but it also gives times they can, others can see, like I said, they can make preparations properly, all this can be done. So then it's nice. Plus, they're going there out of, they've just had the marriage, they're enjoying each other's association, so therefore enjoying things on the way, then that's also stop by nice rivers and nice groves or this and that, spend some time. You know, that's also then quite appropriate for the situation. If it wasn't just after the marriage, it was just a regular inviting, it would be more formal, right? But as we mentioned, it's about the wedding, it's about that, so Draupadi will be very prominent, so therefore the element of holiday will be more prominent, right? If it was official, then it would be the men's thing, so then it would be, they would stop properly at good places, but it would be more on that. You wouldn't hear about it. Right, you just say that they moved, but here it mentions because then that consideration of Draupadi.
Even now in Maharashtra and Rajasthan, the traveling is like the one of the best times for the families.
Oh, okay.
It is the camels selling, etc. Okay. They dance at night, the bonfires.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
They have their tents.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They who were thus sent out were, O Bharata, Vikarna of the great bow, and Chitrasena, Drona, that foremost of warriors, and Kripa of Gotama's line. Surrounded by these, those mighty heroes, their splendor enhanced by that throng, slowly entered the city of Hastinapur. The whole city became radiant, as it were, with a gay throng of sightseers, animated by curiosity. Those tigers amongst men gladdened the hearts of all who beheld them. The Pandavas, dear under the hearts of people, heard, as they proceeded, various exclamations with the citizens, ever desirous of obeying the wishes of those princes, loudly uttered. Some exclaimed, here returns that tiger among men, conversant with all the rules of morality, and who always protects us as if we were his nearest relatives. Elsewhere they said, it seems that King Pandu, the beloved of his people, returneth today from the forest, doubtless to do what is agreeable to us. And there were some that said, what good is not done to us today when the heroic sons of Kunti come back to our town? If we have ever given away in charity, if we have ever poured libations of clarified butter on the fire, if we have any ascetic merit, let the Pandavas, by virtue of all those acts, stay in our town for 100 years. Yeah. So then here it mentions the city became radiant. So why is radiant? Why radiant would be used? Right. What's causing this radiance? Yes.
Light, to show that the whole city came alive.
Yes, came alive. What are you going to say?
There's a lot of happiness.
Due to happiness, yes, like that. So then, that would be the element. Is because if there's happiness, there's radiance, right? So that's the whole key to the house. If there's happiness, there's radiance. If there's happiness in the temple, there's radiance. If there's happiness in the community, there's radiance. Right. So that's the whole thing. When the relationships are working nicely, now what's here? They know they'll be protected. Right? It's not even that they say, maybe now we'll be, the Pandavas are back, so maybe now everything will go. No, he just says, they're back, they're going to take care of us. Right? There's that much attachment. Right? That they can, the citizens can claim possession. Right? Now, when can someone claim possession in a relationship? Yeah, very surrendered. They have to be very confident to do that. Yes.
Also faith.
Faith?
Means they have, did they have faith in the
function? Oh, faith, yes, yes, they have faith. So that's there, because they'll serve like that. But here is that this element that this is coming out because of confidence, because they know they always work in that way. They've proven themselves that they always protect. So when there's protection, then there's confidence. Right? That's the principle. When there's protection, then the women are confident. If they're confident, they're happy. They're happy, they're radiant.
It's also, they heard about Purochana, and they knew that the king has plot something bad. They were not happy anymore.
Yeah, no, that's it. Yeah. At last, the Pandavas, on arriving at the place, worshipped the feet of Dhritarashtra, as also those of the illustrious Bhishma. They also worshipped the feet of everyone else who deserved that honor, and inquired after the welfare of every citizen present. At last, at the command of Dhritarashtra, they entered the chambers that had been assigned to them. Right, every citizen. So that means everybody that was there. They interacted. So that is something very special if someone is able to, in that very, subtle way in such a short time to be able to actually interact in a quality way with everyone. Right? That's very special. We notice this is always mentioned about Yudhishthir. It's also, you see, mentioned about Prithu Maharaj. Right? And so these are like, Prithu Maharaj is the incarnation of the Shaktivesha avatar of administration, of the Lord's administrative abilities. So it's mentioned with him. So that means he is technically, as far as the potency goes, the best form of the Kshatriya, right? We're not talking necessarily pastimes or that, just that, but Yudhishthir is the same, right? So very, very special personalities like that. After they had rested there for some time, they were summoned to the court by King Dhritarashtra and Bhishma, the son of Shantanu. Right? What, here's something we see repeated again. What was the principle?
Yeah, they were arrested first.
Yeah.
They were called.
Yeah. Means you greet them, but it's not a formal greeting. It's a personal greeting. Right? Like that. Then they're assigned to their chambers. Then after they've rested and cleaned and they're like that, then they're summoned to the court. Then you deal with business. Right? Does that make sense? If someone's formally coming like that, then depending upon what it is and the situation, then you immediately do some worship. Or if Narad Muni comes, you don't have to worry. He didn't get tired traveling, right? He just plays his veena. He's there in the moment. Right? So that you don't, then you just get out the argya and sit down and all that, because he's not going to stay. But if someone else comes, then they'll greet them. They'll make the arrangements for them, then only. Does that make sense? Right. If that would be the situation. If they're only coming to the court, then you just deal in the court. When they came, King Dhritarashtra, addressing Yudhishthira, said, "Listen, O son of Kunti, with thy brothers to what I say. Repair ye to Kandavaprastha, so that no difference may arise again between you and your cousins. If you take up your quarters there, no one will be able to do you an injury. Protected by Partha, like the celestials by the thunderbolt, reside ye at Kandavaprastha, taking half of the kingdom." Vaishampayana continued, agreeing to what Dhritarashtra said, those bulls amongst men, worshipping the king, set out from Hastinapur. Right? So, in other words, we see is that Dhritarashtra went along with this. He saw that the wisdom in it, but it's not that he's so thrilled about it. Otherwise, there'd be more disgust here, wouldn't it? There'd be something more, but no, he just officially just said, this is it, and then they went. So that means all the other days and this and that, or they spent, wasn't very, important, because Dhritarashtra was only doing this out of obligation. You know, it was the proper thing to do, not that it's what he wanted. Content with half the kingdom, they removed to Kandavaprastha, which was in unreclaimed desert. Right? So unreclaimed means?
Nobody.
Yeah, it means uninhabited. No one's even tried, right? You know? You have to remember that, same time. Yeah. I guess you could say, around Timbuktu that's reclaimed, but... Okay. When those heroes of unfading splendor, namely the Pandavas, with Krishna at their head, arriving there, beautified the place and made it a second heaven. Right? So it's telling you the whole thing. Then it'll get into the... You understand? In other words, you can give us a glimpse ahead, because that'll ask questions. Or at the same time, it'll prepare that you know where it's going. Right? Have you ever been sitting in a conversation, someone's talking, and you wonder where it's going? So if they say something that will give you an indication where it's going, then they give the whole thing, then you feel more comfortable. Does that make sense? Right? You know, generally, it's because they're uncomfortable that they don't tell you. So because they're uncomfortable, that makes you uncomfortable. Right? If they're uncomfortable to say, then you'll be comfortable. Make sense? Okay. Those mighty car warriors, selecting with Dwaipayana's assistance a sacred and auspicious region, performed certain propitiatory ceremonies and measured out a piece of land for their city. Then, surrounded by a trench wide as the sea, by walls reaching high up to the heavens, and white as the fleecy clouds or the rays of the moon, that foremost of cities looked resplendent like Bhogavati, the capital of the Nether Kingdom. Decked with the Nagas, Bhogavati decked with the Nagas, so it's the Nagas Kingdom. It stood adorned with palatial mansions and numerous gates, each furnished with a couple of panels resembling the outstretched wings of Garuda. It was protected with gateways looking like clouds and high as the Mandara Mountains. Being well furnished with numerous weapons of attack, the missiles of the foes could not make the slightest impression on them. They were almost covered with darts and other missiles like double-tongued snakes. The turrets along the walls were filled with armed men in course of training, and the walls were lined with numerous warriors along their whole length. There were thousands of sharp hooks and sataghnis, machines slaying a century of warriors. Right? So in other words, if you're dealing with the Shudras, then you can use all kinds of various means. It doesn't matter. These machines that can just kill so many people, this and that. But if you're dealing with a Kshatriya, he has to be challenged and he has to be fought single-handedly. Does that make sense? So both of these things are there. But at the same time, the same rule applies. If a Shudra surrenders, he has to be dealt with properly. But otherwise, you have all kinds of wild things here. So then there's men in the turrets. What's a turret? It's a tower, but what's the specific thing of a turret? What's its shape?
Round.
Yeah, it's round. So where is this round?
On the top.
It's on the top, but the top has to be connected to a bottom. Yes.
The corners.
It's in the corners. That's important, but you also find them in between the corners. They stick out from the wall, right? Because if you have a wall and someone's climbing a wall, you're on top of the wall. You have to look over the wall and make yourself available to be shot to get them. But a turret sticks out from the wall. That means you can see along the wall. So if someone tries to climb the wall, then you can shoot them. Right? So that's why there must be men in the turrets, and that you have to have a lot of weaponry there. right? And that mentions in the wall, there's all the other soldiers, and they have so much weaponry. But it's not as much necessarily for fighting in the station that they're at. That's just where they stay and move about. But the turrets are your main things. The turrets, the tops, these kind of things, right? The gates, right? These gates are very high. People can't scale them like that. Also, the gates are designed in such a way that people can come in, but they haven't gotten the gate. But once they're in, then you can attack them. But if you put the gate right on the wall, then people can attack it from outside. But the gate is inside, and you have to go in to get to it. Then while you're in that area, you're vulnerable. That makes sense? So these are all, that's what I was mentioning, is that. And the moat. The moat's as wide as the sea, so it's a big moat, right? Like that, a little bit bigger than our moat, right? We're working on it. But. And numerous other machines on the battlements, right? What's a battlement? That's all those little things that stick up like this, you know, or where they have the slits in the wall. From the outside, it's very small, but from the inside, it's very big, right? So you can shoot at any angle and all that kind of thing. Yeah. There were also large iron wheels planted on them. With all these, that foremost of cities was adorned. The streets were wide and laid out excellently, and there was no fear in them of accidents. Decked with innumerable mansions, the city became like unto Amaravati, and came to be called Indraprastha, like unto Indra's city. In a delightful and auspicious part of the city rose the palace of the Pandavas, filled with every kind of wealth, and like unto the mansion of the celestial treasurer Kuvera himself. It looked like a mass of clouds charged with lightning. When the city was built, there came, O king, numerous brahmanas well acquainted with all the Vedas and conversant with every language, wishing to dwell there. And there came also under that town numerous merchants. Foreign? No, right? From every direction, in the hope of earning wealth. There also came numerous persons well skilled in all the arts, wishing to take up their abode there. And around the city were laid out many delightful gardens, adorned with numerous trees, bearing both fruits and flowers. There were amras, mango trees, and amaratakas, kadambas, and ashokas, champaks, punagas, nagas, lakrichas, and panishas, and sals and tals, tamals and bokals, ketuns with their fragrant loads, beautiful and blossoming, and grand we gotta find, there's some funny letters here. Amalakis, with branches bent down with the weight of fruits, and lodas and blossoming ankolas, jams and patals, kunjakas and atimukas, karaviras and parijatas, and numerous other kinds of trees, always adorned with flowers and fruits, and alive with feathery creatures of various species. And those verdant groves always resounded with the notes of maddened peacocks and coquillos. And there were various pleasure houses, bright as mirrors, and numerous bowers of creepers, and charming and artificial hillocks, and many lakes full to the brim of crystal water, and delightful tanks fragrant with lotuses and lilies, and adorned with swans and ducks and chakravakas. Brahmani ducks. I never heard of that. Brahmani ducks. And there were many delicious pools overgrown with fine aquatic plants. And there were also diverse ponds of great beauty and large dimension. And, O king, the joy of the Pandavas increased from day to day in consequence of their residence in that large kingdom that was peopled with pious men. Thus, in consequence of the virtuous behavior of Bhishma and King Dhritarashtra, so this is a nice city. So as you see, it's very attractive, it's very safe, right? So first you're showing its protection, its safeness. Then you're showing this, you know, it's how nice it is, and then all the specifics of its beauty and everything like this. So then that attracts people, right? So if something is very nice, very beautiful, very well protected, then it attracts people. People are automatically comfortable with it. Right? Does that make sense? Right? That's just the way it works. So if you could, in other words, you create a proper environment, it will attract qualified people. Right? The environment's not there, you don't attract them. Right? That, but it's more, it's specifically the environment, not specifically what's there. Because we see when Yudhishthir went to the forest on his own, alone, right? All the Brahmins and citizens also came. Because he is the atmosphere. Right? Like that. So then it's that good atmosphere with good facility that goes together. But the most important is the atmosphere. Right? Right? Horn and Hard Art may not agree, but it is important. And, O King, the joy of the Pandavas increased from day to day in consequence of their residence and that large kingdom that was peopled with pious men. Thus, in consequence of the virtuous behavior of Bhishma and King Dhritarashtra towards them, the Pandavas took up their abode in Kandavaprastha, adorned with those five mighty warriors, each equal unto Indra himself, that foremost of cities looked like Bhagavati, the capital of the Nidhi region, adorned with the Nagas. Having settled there, the Pandavas, O monarch, the heroic Krishna, attaining their leave, came back with Rama to Dwaravati. Where is Dwaravati? Dwarka, yes. Okay, so that ends the, what was it? The section on Vidura, the parva of Vidura. Now is the Raja Labha Parva, where they get the, like that. Janamejaya said, this is section 210, O thou possessed of ascetic wealth, what did those high-souled ones, my grandsires, the illustrious Pandavas, do after obtaining the kingdom of Indraprastha? How did their wife Draupadi obey them all? How is it also that no dissensions arose amongst those illustrious rulers of men, all attached to one wife, namely Krishna? O thou of the wealth of asceticism, I wish to hear everything in detail regarding the behavior towards one another of those rulers of men after their union with Krishna. Right, so he said this, and now a question. So then it goes back, you get more detail. Right, what they're doing, any other aspects of all those things like that. Vaishampayana said, those scorchers of foes, right? Because the man wants to be with his wife, right? Just like the wife wants to be with the husband. So then if there's other persons, then that could give rise to a problem. So how did these Pandavas overcome that problem, right? How is it that if... How do they decide who's going to be with Draupadi, right? How does it work? How is it there'll be no favoritism, that there'll be no... how you say somebody? Rivalry. How will this work? So this is very interesting to him, right? Vaishampayana said, "Those scorchers of foes, the Pandavas, having obtained their kingdom at the command of Dhritarashtra, passed their days in joy and happiness at Kandavaprastha with Krishna. Yudhishthira, endued with great energy and ever adhering to truth, having obtained the sovereignty, virtuously ruled the land, assisted by his brothers. And the sons of Pandu, endued with great wisdom and devoted to truth and virtue, having vanquished all their foes, continued to live there in great happiness. Those bulls among men, seated on royal seats of great value, used to discharge all the duties of government. One day, when all those illustrious heroes were so seated, there came unto them the celestial Rishi Narada, in course of his wanderings. Beholding the Rishi, Yudhishthira offered him his own handsome seat. After the celestial Rishi had been seated, the wise Yudhishthira duly offered him the argya with his own hands." Right. So the best seat in the house is going to be Yudhishthira's. But when someone like Narad Muni comes, even though Yudhishthira is the king, the seat would naturally be given to Narad Muni. Right. Others come, you give them a good seat. Right. That. But if someone is senior like that, they get the big seat. Right. Thank you. The king also informed the rishi of the state of his kingdom. The rishi, accepting the worship, became well pleased, and eulogizing him with benedictions, commanded the king to take his seat. Commanded by the rishi, the king took his seat. Right? So then, he's not sitting down until he's asked to sit down, right? Until the senior says one doesn't sit, right? So then here Narada Muni is doing is he's giving a blessing, I mean, by his eulogies. In other words, he's praising what he does, and in the same way he's giving a blessing with it. Right? This is like these dual things, like asking questions, but in that you're giving instructions. You know? Like that. So like this we see the proper culture of everything. We'll continue with Narada Muni's visit tomorrow.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi. We extended this, so now it sits. Otherwise, before it was too long.
Okay, how do you know? Maharaj, I didn't understand the third was inside the wall.
Huh?
I didn't understand that the third was inside the wall, like an extension.
Because the wall goes and then they come out, and they go like that. Or they're in the corner, they go around like that. But the point is they stick out, and then from there you can see every direction. Because if it's square, then that means this is a blind spot. They can attack from here. But if it's round, it means this, you can shoot from anywhere, from the wall to the wall. So that's where they're important. But on top of the wall or in the wall, then you can shoot straight, of course, and you can get quite a good, but you can't get the side of the wall. That's why turrets are important. So your gates, your turrets, your walls, your moat, these are your, which it mentioned. These are all your important elements of Hare Krishna. You want to say something?
Yeah, I think I sort of must have fallen asleep on that page when they were describing those trees, because there was all the ants left in and everything.
That, and also just they're using these funny, KH or KZ, these kind of things.
Yeah, so please forgive me.
Also the Vaishya's horn.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Like so it's,
anyway.
Unfortunately, no one hears Shakespearean, so therefore we don't.
We've got away with it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, Maharaj.
Yeah, okay. Which one?
The one that we take every day.
Oh, it's there.
It's already there?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Is it doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this any better, the seating now that I've opened it up so it kind of disappear? I'm also thinking that maybe next time I'll just move the girls a little bit forward, so that doesn't become a walkway, so it'll move it up, two more bricks, and then no one can walk in front. I'll have to go around. Okay, very good, thank you. Okay, you start.